I humbly pray that the Spirit of the Lord will sustain me while I address you here this afternoon and discuss with you a statement of the Prophet Joseph Smith when he visited President Van Buren, President of the United States. The President asked the Prophet what difference there was between the Prophet's church and the other churches of the world. The Prophet answered, "We have the correct mode of baptism and the gift of the Holy Ghost by the laying on of hands." And then he said, "We considered that that included all other important matters." And I'd like to just mention a few things that occurred to me of what we have by virtue of the Holy Ghost that each of us as members of the church receive by the laying on of hands by one who has the authority to thus administer the Holy Ghost. To me, the gift of the Holy Ghost is important to man as sunshine and water are to the plants. You take that away, the plant would die. You take the Holy Ghost out of this church, and this church wouldn't be any different than any other church. And it's manifest in so many ways in the lives and the devotion of the members of the church. Just recently, the Zone Conference back in Toronto, the Prime Minister of Canada said to President Tanner, "I don't see how you can get your people to do so much without paying them." When I think of what our people do in this church without having to be paid with money for what they do, is a tremendous thing. You take these general authorities here on the stand. When they were called to be general authorities, there was nothing said to them about whether they would receive an allowance to live on. I remember when I was back in Washington, just after President Benson was called to be a member of the 12, and he hadn't yet been out west here to be ordained and set apart. And I was then the presiding bishop, and I attended his state conference, and he said, "Bishop, will there be any provision that we'll have a living while we're serving in the as general authorities of the church?" And I said, "Well, there'll be a little allowance, but," I said, "you'll have to live differently than you've done back here unless you've got a little bit tucked away." I happen to know of an offer that was made to him while he was in the agricultural department that in those days was a tremendous offer. And he passed that by to come back here to be a member of the quorum without any assurance that he would have an allowance given to him. I think of when President Tanner here was called to be one of the general authorities. President McKay told us that he was in line to become the Prime Minister of Canada, and he was at the head of great industrial organizations there in Canada. And I'm sure that if he were to stand here now, he'd tell you that when the President, President McKay, asked him to be one of the general authorities, he didn't discuss with him anything about any allowance that he would receive. And I could go on down. If each one of these men could tell you how they gave up their businesses and their professions, and why did they do it? Because they had received the gift of the Holy Ghost that made it possible for them to do what Jesus advised: "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all other things will be added." I think of one of my counselors when I was called to be the presiding bishop, and Bishop Ashton died, and I asked for Brother Isaacson, and he was the head of a large insurance business that he owned and operated. And when President George Albert Smith asked him if he was willing to serve as my counselor, He said, yes, but I'd like to go back east and arrange with my company to get a manager, because you know in the insurance business so much depends on renewals. But he said, if they won't let me do it, I'll tell them to take the business. And I happen to know that the tithing he'd been paying was just about the equivalent of what his allowance was when he became a counselor in the bishopric. And not only that, for the first 6 months after he received his allowance, he turned it back into the church. He said, I've never been on a mission. It's about time I'm doing something. Now, if you could hear from each one of these men, for instance, I had a business and had 10 men working for me and 2 girls, and the president of the church sent my father over, see how I'd like to go to California and preside over the Hollywood estate. Well, I won't take time to tell you all the details. In 60 days, I'd sold my business, I sold my beautiful home, moved my family down to California with no allowance to live on, and had to start all over again. Again, when I was in business here in Salt Lake, and President Grant called for 1,000 short-term missionaries, and he said, bishops and stake presidents are not exempt. I was then a bishop. I landed back in New England, left my wife and 7 kiddies and my business in the hands of my brother-in-law. You don't do things like that with normal men. It takes men inspired by the Holy Spirit. We have 28,000 missionaries in the world today, paying their own way and maintaining themselves. And we have had hundreds of thousands since this church was organized. And the only reason that they're there is because they have the gift of the Holy Ghost. And most of them from their infancy have looked forward to the day when they could go on a mission. I think of a little statement President Benson told us a short time ago, when he told about being at a banquet back in the East, and he sat next to a minister. And the minister said, Mr. Benson, I'd like to visit with you after the banquet. So they got another part of the building. And he said, now there are 2 things in your church we'd like to copy. Brother Benson said, and what are they? Well, first, it's your missionary system. He said, you send your missionaries all over the world. You don't pay them. You make them pay their way to their field of labor and maintain them while they're there. And all the church does for them is to pay their return fare when they come back. And he said, now in our church, we have a missionary fund. But he said, we offer to pay our men to the field of labor, to maintain them while they're there, and then to return them after they are released. And we can't get anybody to go. Now that's the difference when you're operating in the kingdom of man and the kingdom of God. It's God's kingdom. He's the only one that can put his Holy Spirit in the hearts of his people. No one in this world could duplicate what was done here last night when we held a conference of the priesthood of this church, and it was broadcast in over 1,700 different buildings, and I imagine that we had an estimate attendance of over 200,000 men and boys, all bearing the priesthood of God together. No wonder Peter said, you're a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people. We're peculiar to the world, that you might show forth the praises of him who has called you forth out of darkness unto his marvelous light. Now, think of this choir back here that's been singing to us so wonderfully, and they've been doing it now for over 50 years. I don't suppose all of them have, but the choir has. And we don't have to pay them anything. 350 of them that gather here week after week to practice and then come to sing for us. Down in the south, when I was planting the mission down there, I went into one of the beautiful new chapels down there, not of our church, and the minister showed us through, and the ground broke away so that the basement was above the ground level. And I said to the minister, "Do you know what we would do with this if we had it?" And he said, "What?" I said, "We'd improve it and use it to entertain our young people." "Well, Mr. Richards," he said, "you can do it. You have trained leaders. You don't have to pay them. And we haven't got them, and we can't afford to pay them." Now, I knew he couldn't, because one of our members sang in his choir each week and had to be paid by the minister for singing in the choir. What if we had to pay all of these folks here, and then go to all of our ward choirs, and then go to all of the auxiliary organizations, and think, now here Friday, we had a gathering of the regional representatives of the 12th, and I don't remember just how many were there, but I think about 190. And there they are, businessmen, executives, and professional men. And they go all over the country without any compensation for their work in order to help build the kingdom. Thank God for the gift of the Holy Ghost. No wonder the prophet said that included all things. Now, one of the finest illustrations we have in Holy Writ of what the Holy Ghost can do for a man was in the case of Peter. You remember when Jesus met with them in the Last Supper and told them that there was one among them who would betray him, and Peter said in something like this, "Though all the world betray thee, I will not betray thee." And Jesus said, "Before the cock shall crow, you will deny me thrice." And then when Jesus was taken prisoner and Peter sat in the outer room and two different women came up to him and said, "You are with Jesus." And he denied it emphatically. And then a man came and he even denied it with curses. And when he was through, he heard the cock crow and he went out and wept. Now that was Peter before he had received the Holy Ghost. Jesus commanded his disciples to tarry to Jerusalem until they should be endowed with the Holy Spirit. And he said that it was necessary for him to go away or the Comforter could not come. And he said, "When the Comforter come, he shall teach you all things, things present, things which are past, and things which are to come." Now look at Peter after he received the gift of the Holy Ghost. And when he was commanded by the chief priests in Jerusalem not to preach Christ in the streets of Jerusalem, he said, "Whom shall men obey, God or man?" He was as fearless as a lion. And I toured the Central American missions with a mission president a few years ago. And we went in one of the great cathedrals there, and on one of the walls were the oil paintings of the original 12, showing how they were put to death. Paul was beheaded at Rome by Nero. Peter was crucified with his head downward because he didn't consider himself worthy to be crucified like his Lord. That's the Peter after he'd received the gift of the Holy Ghost. Compare that with when he denied the Savior. Now you could find that with all of our people. If you want to apply it all through the work of the church, we dedicate on the average of one beautiful chapel a day throughout this church, and the people contribute to it, and their tithes and their offerings make it possible to build these buildings, and they do it because of the Holy Ghost that they receive by the laying on of hands when they become members of this church. Now, just to illustrate that, when I was back in the South, there was an itinerant preacher came through Atlanta telling the leaders of churches how they could get out of debt. And he quoted the words of Malachi, how if you'll prove me and see if I'll open the windows of heaven. And he told those people that if they would pay their tithing for 10 months, they could get out of debt. I went up to him after and was introduced to him, and I said, Reverend, I'd like to bear you my testimony that you're getting pretty close to the truth. I said, we've been paying our tithing all our lives. I said, just one thing I can't understand. You say it's the Lord's law of blessing of his people, and if it is, wouldn't it be better to be blessed all their lives than just to be blessed for 10 months? And he said, oh, Mr. Riches, we can't go that far yet. We couldn't build these beautiful buildings and carry on this great program of this church if it rested upon the shoulders of men with their own capacity and ability. I see it's time for me to close. God bless you all. I thank him with all my heart and soul for the restoration of the gospel, for the restoration of the holy priesthood, for all the gifts and blessings that we enjoy by virtue thereof, including the gift of the Holy Ghost. When I was appointed a member of the 12, I said from this pulpit that I'd rather have my children enjoy the companionship of the Holy Ghost than any other person or individual in this world. And I feel the same today for them and for me and for all of you, and leave you my love and blessing in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.